We want to welcome into the KPOY Morning News Congressman Doug LaMalfa. Doug, good morning.
Scott, how are you?
I'm okay. Good to see you on Friday, and thanks for joining us here. I know you made big announcement on Friday, north end of the state there in the Shasta County area. Tell us what that was all about first, and then we'll get to what's happening for us here in Butte County in the area today.
Yeah, we the not always speedy process, but we're grateful it's gotten done, was that federal disaster legislation in 2018 and 2019, two different pieces, were able to bring home a good portion of a $1 billion fund to help us, what's called community developed block grants here in the CDBGs that are going to be here for, they're going to help locally here in Northern California for wildfire relief in different aspects. So Friday we announced two pieces, one for the city of Redding and one for the city of Shasta Lake, $22.5 million for Redding and $6.3 million for Shasta Lake. And then and that's for when they suffered the car fire in 2018 that devastated the western edge of Redding and portions of Shasta Lake City. So today we'll be talking about the portion that we brought home to Butte County for those that suffered in the camp fire in November of 2018. And it's very, very significant, and we're very grateful for the help that HUD was able to do federally to be the entity to put these dollars forward, and Housing and Community Development in Sacramento was the conduit. So what we're announcing is that for the town of Paradise, $199.5 million worth of help for the recovery of their infrastructure. These are infrastructure based funds, so it can help them with their roads, any of these roads, certain aspects of housing replacement due to fire recovery. And for example, up in Shasta Lake, they're going to install a really large water tank, so they have backup resiliency for fire, etc., like that. So what we're announcing for Paradise is that $199.5 million figure that will go largely to help repair their roads and make their roads more resilient, more and a better condition for fire movement, pre-fire, other disaster, as well as a large chunk of money towards their much, much needed sewer system after all the damage the fire did to homes and their septic systems they have up there. So this is going to be a giant leap to help Paradise in its recovery and put their infrastructure back in a good way after obviously what was so devastating with the fire.
Yeah, and then also
them as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, go ahead. Yep.
Butte County will also receive a share, since there was plenty of impact upon the county, some of its infrastructure and people, being displaced and moved around, obviously, after the fire. And then the repairs that are going to be needed to some of the things that were damaged due to cleanup and, some of the construction's already happened. Butte County will see $72.7 million from that community development block grant funding that we can move around within certain, it's not a free-for-all here. It has to be used in infrastructure-related items, not defined by Washington, D.C., but rural infrastructure as you would more closely define, not today's more creative terms that were thrown around earlier this year. And lastly, City of Chico, who it was directly impacted as well with displaced folks from Paradise for the fire and some of the infrastructure, they will receive $12.3 million in addition to some other funds that have already come through and other positive economic impacts. So this is a big day for us here in Butte County, as well as Friday up in Shasta County, What turns out to be approximately of the total block of infrastructure funds that were in this supplemental disaster bill that was done in Washington, we were able to receive 98% in Northern California of the infrastructure portion of that. So we're very grateful for that. Very fortunate that the committee heard our needs and actually reacted on that, and it's worked through the process with the federal and state entities. So we're very excited about it, and I think it's going to be a giant shot in the arm for each of these entities that have suffered from fire and need the recovery.
As we know, you know, with the City of Paradise especially, again, just to emphasize, this is money's going towards infrastructure, you know, not to be confused with any settlement monies from PG&E. This is all infrastructure monies coming from the federal government to help, like you said, with roadways, part of the sewer project, and other, you know, development of homes, affordable housing, and all that as well on the ridge. Is that right? Just to make sure people are
right,
aware.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct. And then some of the other entities we mentioned, too.
Sure.
It's the other two cities in the county, and as well as, in Shasta and Butte. Yes, sir.
Right.
So it's going to be well-used dollars, you know, and I might borrow a line there. I don't always vote for spending appropriations in Washington, D.C., but when I do, we can see a direct tie towards infrastructure and the types of things I think you would expect for your tax dollars.
Yes, sir. Let's talk a little bit, Doug, if we can. Let's turn now to, as we know, the ongoing discussion always here in California about water, now that we're, you know, in the excessive drought, third year running. But the impact it really has on, and you could speak of this, with the ag community and the continued struggles now, as we hear water boards around the state and the state water board also, you know, cutting allocations to farmers. And it seems like that's an ongoing trend. So how do you respond to that? And what can you tell us about ongoing work going on, even with, we know Sites Reservoir has been on your radar for decades and just working on that and getting that passed for the state. But what more can you say just from your standpoint as a rancher, you know, your farm?
Well, this is a mugging that's going on here, Scott. The way the State Water Resources Control Board has arbitrarily just taken water, some of it's being done in concert with Bureau of Reclamation on federal projects, okay? So basically, if it's on the Sacramento River system, it's federal. If it's on the Feather River system, by and large, that's going to be state. And farther up north, it's federal. So what we've seen is that if you drive down I-5 and you're on the west side of the Sacramento River primarily, a little bit on the east, you're seeing hundreds of thousands of ag land left out this year like you've never seen before. And that's because of a shift in water policy where many of those folks were only given 18% of their allocation. Others even zeroed out, depending what type of water right and where you're located. And so it's amazingly brazen, because that wasn't enough preseason in two different entities up north in the Shasta Valley, Scott Valley, in kind of the central sort of western part of Siskiyou County. They just 30, 40 days ago just shut off their ability to take surface water out of the rivers, and that's mid-crop year. And finally, about 4 or 5 days ago, they've done the same thing in the Klamath Basin to those farmers up there who have a clear water right of water that was developed by the federal government about 100 years ago to basically new water that would never exist on the top of Klamath Lake. That's their water down to a certain elevation, and they're just taking it from and reassigning it to for fish flows that, in my view, they don't actually even work to help fish populations because the several factors I could give you, but I know time is limited here. But the latest wrinkle up there, they were promised a certain amount that they could use the elevation of the water in the lake up in the Klamath down to a certain depth. Recently, they've adjusted that number up another 6 inches, which is going to cost them tens of thousands of acre feet, because they decided that pelicans that live around the lake can dive and capture suckerfish that like to sit at the bottom of the lake. And so if the lake is deeper, it'll be harder for the pelicans to dive to capture the suckerfish, okay, which they deem as endangered or threatened or what have you. So we don't want pelicans diving and catching fish, so if you leave the lake at least 3.28 feet deeper, then that will help save suckerfish. Meanwhile, the farmers are not getting their water. This is mid-crop year. This is what you got to hear. This is mid-crop year. They've already bought fertilizer and seed and already put the water in the fields and have been irrigating. They already spent the tractor time and the diesel and all that to get a crop out there, and that crop is halfway done, and they're cutting it off on them. Can you imagine if you have that kind of investment out there and they pull it midstream? They've done it up there. They're doing it in Shasta Lake. I mean, excuse me, Shasta Valley and Scott Valley in Siskiyou County. It's they're mugging them. You know, I was just up there with them over the weekend here, and it's they're wondering what they're supposed to do. And so it's in concert with the Endangered Species Act, Fish and Wildlife, the federal and the state level. And it's very arbitrary because they seem to be making it up as they go. And what I got to tell you, Scott, is that we've had so much crop that didn't get planted in our home state this year, on top of a significant portion last year. But we're all seeing emptier shelves in the stores. We're seeing dramatically higher food prices, and much more didn't get planted this year. There's crops that aren't going to come in the Midwest. There's crops that aren't going to come in internationally, such as Ukraine and Hungary and India are not going to export wheat in the world market. 2023 is going to be a real doozy as far as food availability and the cost of food, even for Americans here in the land of plenty, because of the misplaced priorities we're seeing coming out of Sacramento with the Newsom administration. They're not helping. The Biden administration, you know, I took a minute after the State of the Union earlier this year. That's what I talked about. Sir, Mr. President, we need to get to the water to the farms, and because they're dying off. He said, I know, and he assigned me to talk to one of his people, but it didn't get the results. And I'm just, I don't have the words.
What, if any, impact have you seen with rice this year?
Well, it depends what system you're on. If you're on the Sacramento River,
well, you
system,
said the west. You said rice. East of the Sacramento River, right? We talked a little bit on Friday, and you said really the impact was lessened, kind of for you and other farmers on this side of the Sacramento River. Is that right?
We're fortunate here on the east side of the Sacramento right. Valley that we're part of the Feather River system. So if you're part of the state water project, you were cut 50%. Okay. But if you're on the federal project over there, you were cut anywhere from 82% to some districts all the way down to zero. And so, so when you go down 99, you still see rice planted and other crops planted up and down here because the water right was a little stronger and Oroville, they deemed to be a little better shape. Shasta Lake is no longer really a people lake. It's a fish lake because they're doing kind of similarly as what they're doing on the Klamath Lake up there. They want to keep it deeper and deeper so that they can release water in the fall off the bottom of the lake that is theoretically colder so that the water in the river in the fall for the fall run salmon will be 1 degree colder than it otherwise would be. So that means hundreds of thousands of acre feet are not available to agriculture or people use. And then for urban listeners, 10% of the state water is devoted towards urban uses, people and, you know, the light manufacturing and such that goes on in cities. 40% used to be the number for ag. 50% is for environmental and what just runs out to the sea. So when they tell urban people, like, we need you to cut 25%, and then that number is going to get bigger as they want to ratchet people down even more, just regular people that live in urban areas, that means they're only saving 2.5% of the state water pie when they tell you cut 25%. And meanwhile, the environmental water remains at nearly 50%. And they're running it down the river and out the delta just as fast as they can do it.
And then just real quick, we got to wrap things up here, Doug, but just again, what if any impact has supply chain issues had on the rice market? We've heard from the nut farmers, they've had it where they have storage where it's just sitting there because the markets, they can't get it to market. What about rice?
Yeah, almond guys especially have just been right. Extremely frustrated. They had a large carryover of, you know, carry-in of crop last year and unable to get it out to the ports efficiently. They're starting to catch up a little bit. Rice is pretty okay. It has a little less of a perishability issue, and it's not so bad. And the price is kind of hanging in on rice. Almonds, it's been really tough. And several other crops, you know, so it's been an issue where the ports have been tied up for a while. The ports are starting to receive some relief here, but our trade representatives need to ensure that when the ships leave the L.A. port, They're supposed to be stopping in Oakland for a period of time and picking up the ag products that much of which goes to the port of Oakland. The ships are so in a hurry to run straight back to China empty, they could make more money buying all the electronic gizmos and other stuff, higher value, they say, than our ag products that are supposed to go over. China, under the Trump administration, signed an agreement to bolster ag imports to China, and they're at least $300 billion behind on those more recent upgraded agreements. And so we got to hold them accountable. Now, it sounds odd even talking about having trade with China, because I think we need to look completely differently at what we're depending on them for anyway, if that's any form of energy. You know, our pharmaceuticals, antibiotics, we're like 90% of our stuff comes from China in our medicines these days, just because we can get it cheaper. We need to really wean ourselves from buying Chinese products. And if they're not going to buy ours, there's even less incentive to keep playing that way with them. But we have to get our industry spooled up in this country to be able to produce it, because we can't just stop overnight. We have to, you know, it's kind of like a junkie for Chinese products. We have to wean ourselves and cold turkey over time, right?
Yeah, we know a lot of people aren't going to be happy with that because of the cost. It'll be at when they're buying those products, cost will go up if they want it made in the USA. We've had that discussion. Doug, let's real quick recap again. The big announcement happening later this morning. You'll be on the Ridge in Paradise joining others about the big block grant disaster recovery monies coming to Butte County, Town of Paradise, City of Chico. And again, big bucks, especially for the Town of Paradise, for campfire recovery.
Very, very important. Yep. Very important federal dollars outside of the other dollars you see flying from, as they're trying to work through the PG&E settlement money and some of that other. We can get this out the door fairly soon and help them with their infrastructure on roads and the desperately needed sewer system, which will help the town thrive in coming years, which that's been kind of a holdup anyway. Now with so much damage to the septic systems they've had, you know, it'll be a huge win. And then Butte County suffered a lot with all this too, with roads damage and such. So they'll see a significant portion to help, as well as City of Chico. They'll get a nice slice too, to help with some of the impacts and fire recovery there too. So we did the best we could on all these fronts here, but you know, obviously 90% of Paradise was devastated in the fire. So we have certainly a lot of sympathy and a lot of emphasis on getting the help for the area up on the Ridge. And, the Magalia portion there, and even Yankee Hill and Concal, we don't forget them.
Yep.
That all those areas were completely, almost completely destroyed. So it's a good day for that, and it does show that once in a while we can get some things done that are actually helpful back east. So.
Sounds good. Doug, we got to leave it there for right now. Congressman Doug LaMalfa, thanks for the time this morning, Doug, and we'll have you on again.
Thanks for having me.